The Baby Lambs podcast may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast. Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast. Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast.
Hello!
Hi, everyone. How are
you? Happy Friday. How are you guys?
Hopefully good. Well,
welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast. This is going to be a nice little random rambles for you.
We know how much you love them.
Yeah, they're our favorite too.
Just be random and rambling.
It's just been that kind of week over here. When isn't it that kind of week, huh? I don't know. Always that kind of week.
Who knows? Mercury's in retrograde again.
It is. And we are feeling it. Yeah. We're also we're like exactly 13 days away from our U.S. elections. So we're all getting bombarded with phone calls and text messages from every possible organization.
Yeah, I feel like every day someone's leaving like a campaign something on my fence, and then I have like all of my mail is literally campaign BS.
Basically, it's just a nonstop, like, we're all so overstimulated. But interestingly enough, so like today and right now, actually, as we're recording this, is the final debate between our presidential candidates. And it's also I think it's pretty clear that everyone in the country has made up their mind. So this is really just a formality. But they're advertising this debate as a big deal because they're going to finally put the mute button on the microphones.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
So now they are indeed limited to 2 minutes. And if it goes awry, the moderator can mute the microphones because that's where we're at, ladies and gents. That's where we're at. So, I mean, it felt pretty appropriate to maybe spend a little bit of time talking about, yeah. I guess, the election. Not the election so much as, like,
the stress of the election, like, everything, just everywhere you go, you're talking about it, you're being accosted about it, like, there's no winning. I'm at a point, like, I keep going, fluctuating between, like, anger and then like absolute peace and tranquility.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like I get angry and then I'm like, why am I angry, you know? And then it's like you're thinking about like how much privilege do you really have if you're questioning your anger, like is your anger justified or whatnot. And I'm not angry, it's my anger stems from like people trying to convince me to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much the work that I'm actually doing to try to make changes, right? Mm-hmm. Or like supporting the either the candidates or the organizations that I support.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know, when you're not pro Trump or like Republican, it's like it's a bombardment of like questioning your, it's like they're questioning your morals as if you don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that you do have are not valid because it's not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, I'm so done with that conversation. Why do I have to keep trying to like validate my thoughts to people that bring nothing into my life?
I guess it's also because of where we live and, you know, what our cultures are. I mean, I've tried my best to try to stay away from as much of it as possible, but it's hard to avoid, you know, you see the giant trucks with the Trump banners and all that. And you do see some Biden stuff here and there. Yeah. All the memes going out about that, that people have about like the Trump signs, basically saying like, if you have one of these on your lawn, you're basically telling me you're a racist and to hate you. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, I feel that way at this point too. Yeah. But it's a lot. But funny enough, South Florida is the, like, this is the place that the whole country is relying on. Do you understand that?
I know.
Like, never. It's us. It's us. And even right now, because you know, we had I think Gabe is watching it on NBC News, and they had like, you know, a little panel like starting before, like a panel of like the White House, you know, correspondent and all the others, and there was a guy there. They were talking about Florida because of course Florida is always the last state to turn in all their votes. We're always a mess.
If we get it right, we turn them in.
If we get them right, we turn them in. Either way, we're the reason that you get the results so late in the evening. It's because of Florida. And and this guy was talking about, like, you know, how, you know, early voting started this week. Early voting started this Monday. And I guess he's from here because he was like, and you can see in every count, like in every like district, you could see it in Pembroke Pines and like Hillsborough County, in Miami-Dade, and like, they're talking about us. It's not our channel. It's not our NBC. This is national NBC. And they're talking about our counties and they're like, and you see the voters in line, like wrapping around the block, and like people are seriously out there voting, and it's the first time that we've ever seen this. It's the first time that, like, in any election where we feel that people are taking advantage of early voting and taking it so seriously.
Yeah, I don't know who posted it or if it was like in our Instagram or something, but literally, like, early voting, we have had 350,000 Floridians vote early, which is like, we beat out everybody else in the country. It's never happened before in the history of Florida. And like I've said before, and I'll say it again now, like, I hate this man. I hate his administration. But we can at least talk about it if you're able to vote and you've gone ahead and you voted.
Yeah.
Because I am not one for voter suppression. We can disagree all day. But if you are doing your civic duty as I am, and it's the least thing that we could do, then let's go, baby.
Agreed. I honestly don't care to listen to anybody's opinion if they haven't voted. If you haven't voted, or not so much like if you're under the age of 18 and you can't vote, like, I'm not, whatever.
Or like, you know, you unfortunately have a felony charge or something, and like, there's roadblocks in place to make sure that you can't vote, unfortunately.
Yeah. Or you're in the process of earning your car, your residency.
Yeah.
Like, it could be a number of things.
There's so many reasons as to why people don't vote, and it's because of roadblocks that are put there. But if you are like us, that, like, you have the ability to go do it and you keep choosing not to, I can't have a serious conversation. I just can't.
No, I can't. I can't, and I won't. I also just generally don't want to talk about it with anybody.
Yeah, that's the other part.
I will be honest, I'm blessed that, at least within my immediate family, as far as like those that I speak with the most, they are Democrats. Not all, but yeah. Like my mom and my stepfather are Democrats. In fact, this is, my stepfather's first election voting as a Democrat, because he's been a lifelong Republican until this administration. Wow. And then he switched to Democrat to be able to vote in the primaries. To vote in the primaries for the Democratic
Party. Yeah, yeah.
But so it's so I'm lucky in that regard. But like, the family that I do have, or like the family friends that I do have that are like literally in the Trump, like, whatever they call the Trump brigades, where they're like going with their flags and their bullshit in the middle of like everywhere. I just try not to engage.
Yeah. I
feel like my hair is green now, so you should definitely know who I'm voting for.
And I have a buzz cut and I have very visible tattoos at this point. So
yeah,
it's, you know, like, if that speaks to anything, hopefully it's that. You know, I feel like my biggest struggle right now is I'm not understanding this need to like wave these massive flags and like just let who you're support, like let it be known who you're supporting so loudly. And I've always had this issue. It's not like because of Trump, I've just never understood it. But I think it's because I come from a place where like propaganda was a thing and I saw it everywhere. And, you know, you would walk into people's homes and there was always a picture of a Che or Fidel. And like, instead of, you know, here how you walk into like, you know, someone's Catholic, if they have like the, like, Escrito en el corazón.
Yeah, the blonde Jesus,
our beautiful white Jesus. To me it's the same thing. Like I literally see it and I'm like, we learned nothing from being like on the island. And so I told you that Tuesday I went to someone's house and you know, I was the only non-Republican there, but everybody was Cuban. And I'm the only one who, like, I guess, the most recent arrival from Cuba at that house at that moment.
Yeah.
And it was fine, you know, I didn't feel, like, unsafe, and I didn't feel like I needed to explain myself or anything like that. And, like, if I, when I would disagree, I was heard, I didn't have to yell, like nothing. But the people that were speaking at me were so loud and irate. And, you know, I kept, so I caught myself toward the end of it because I had a smirk the whole time. I must have looked like tremendo asshole because I was like, I don't understand why you're yelling right now. This is too much. I'm literally saying that, like, there's parts that we were talking about and I'm like, yeah, like, I see it your way, you know. It's just not... I'm not trying to convince you to vote for Biden. Like, we're having a conversation about our views. You know, I'm explaining like why, like how what's happening now is very similar to like the Cuba that I grew up in. You know, most of you were born here and those of us that have come from there have come at very different times. So like the only ones that were there that have immigrated was myself and two other older ladies who came in the 60s, right? So they came at the start of a quote-unquote revolution, and I came like way settled into the quote-unquote revolution. Because for those of you that are not familiar with Cuban politics, the revolution is 60 years strong, okay? It's never stopped. We've been in the same like under the same government for 60 plus years, but it's not like the revolution keeps going. So it was that conversation of like, you know, I come from the established revolution and like a lot of like the way that Cubans talk about it here and they talk about like why they support Trump so much is the same reason. Like, it reminds me of the way that we talked about Fidel back home and why they love Fidel so much. Now, the difference is in one, you're choosing it. And then in the other, you're being forced to. But it's getting to the point where, like, I don't know, like, it's blending a bit too much, right? Because some people are, like, third generation in Miami and are Republican because their grandparents are Republican, their parents are Republican, therefore they are also a Republican.
Yeah, and I just think, I mean, and to your point, there's just so much of this, like, it's not even... I'm a Republican because I believe in like fiscal conservatism and like all of the pieces that like the real tangible pieces that make up the Republican Party, you know, like smaller government and all of those things. Like, it's so much of our culture. And this is, I know that a lot of our listeners are from South Florida, but if you're not and you don't understand what we're talking our about outliers. In terms of the Cuban Revolution, here it's not that it's not that Cubans are Republicans, it's that they're anti-Democrat, because they see the word Democrat and they equate it to socialism, mm-hmm. and they equate it to like the actions of one Democratic president, and that was John F. Kennedy. And they just combining those two, when you talk about social programs and you talk about all like the pieces that do have a lot of essence yeah. in the Democratic Party, they just resist it like ¿cómo se llama la cosita esa? The little black stone that people put on? The azabache?
Azabache. Eh? Azabache.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like that's what the azabache is for.
Yeah.
It's to prevent socialism.
So it's funny that you bring up JFK, right? So the big Cuban exoduses from the islands to the States have happened under Democratic
yes.
or Democrat presidents and Democrat and administrations.
Yes.
So it's super ironic, right, that all of these people have come during these administrations and then get here and then spit in the face of these administrations and the people that assisted in making sure that they came here.
Yep.
Right? Because these people are elected officials, meaning that folks that didn't have to elect them or help in these ways did it because people were in need. Mm-hmm. And now we're here and we're like, no, thank you. We're super Republican because we're not socialist. You know, mm-hmm. and I heard that a lot on Tuesday. I got asked, they're like, oh, so if a socialist comes up, like, you know, like in Cuba, then are you going to vote for them? And I go, I want to make it clear right now that Cuba is not a socialist or communist country. It is run under a dictatorship that is masking under a socialist and communist, quote unquote, communist backbone, right? Like ideals. And they're like, oh, but like name me one. And I go, I'm not going to do that because you can Google it.
Okay. You mean name me a what?
Name me like a socialist country that's like flourishing right now. And I go, I'm not going to do that because I'm not here to like be your teacher. You can Google it yourself.
Well, Denmark, Norway.
But I didn't want to like go into that route because I'm not here to like, they're all.
No, I know you're not here to teach. You're here because this is a themed party and you wanted to eat some yummy treats.
Yeah, exactly. Which I did. And it was great. I had a great time arguing, you know, because at least it wasn't my grandma just yelling at me being like, we're Cuban, we're Republican. Let's say we're not talking about anything else. You know, we had a good conversation. But there was like those moments, right, where it was like, oh, but show me. And I'm like, I'm not going to show you. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I said, you know, there are many parts of this country that have socialist ideals. And like at the end of the day, when all of you retire, the taxes that we pay are for you to be able to retire and live off of my taxes.
And so ironically enough, those are taxes that we won't. And those are probably benefits that you and me will not be able to.
Exactly. You know, and I said things like that. I go, I'm not going to get into like other countries and how they manage because I don't know them, but I can talk about this one and like the things that we do have in place that I'm sure all of you know where their roots are. And then we got into like, you know, the whole thing with the taxes and this, that, the other, and trickle down economics. And someone was like going on something and I'm like, you know, as a tax accountant, that trickle down economics is not a Democrat.
That came from Reagan.
Yeah, I'm like, that is not something that my party wanted to be a part of. But now we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're here, and it hasn't worked.
It's just, they're just so, I mean, whatever. The arguments are whatever they are, and I'm tired of having them. I'm tired of reading about them. I'm tired of people yelling at me on the internet about them. I mean, nobody really yells at me, really, because I
Well, we read them as if they're yelling.
We read them as if they're yelling at me. And once in a while, I'll message them and be like, I don't want to engage, but I just want you to know you're wrong. And I do wish you the best. I do.
You peace out.
But the last 4 years have been like a litany, like a, I don't know, not litany. It's been like a, like a routined muting of people you grew up with on social media, you know, like going into like, you know, I'm going to snooze you or I'm going to unfollow you because I'm just like, I don't have the energy to like, I come here to escape.
And there's no escaping. There's no escaping.
Unless you're going to show me a puppy picture or a baby, I don't want to be here.
Yeah. Oh man, I was gonna say something.
No.
Oh, so the topic, I feel like the biggest topic this week, and I realized it when I was at that gathering, it was protesting, right? So the idea that like if Biden wins, then the GOP, like pro-Trumpers and like GOP, they're gonna go out and riot, and it's gonna be the start of a civil war, and you know, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, honestly, it's gonna happen no matter who wins.
Yeah.
That's really the most disgusting part to me, because if we could all just, this is me being like kumbaya, mm-hmm. but it's if we were all willing to work together and to a certain degree put some of our differences aside and be like, here's what might work for like our society moving forward, I think we can possibly avoid a civil war, is my thought, right? I don't think that like any of this truly merits, like people have a right to be angry and people have a right to protest,
mm-hmm.
right? Like it's
literally one of our, it's really,
yeah, it's our right. It's our right as Americans. But when you are reading the comments and the things that are starting to happen and like the arguments that people are inciting in person, I'm like, yo, you need to chill the fuck out. Like Trump doesn't really care about you that way. None of these people really care about us this way. Some of us are just more like, we just want to protect our rights, yo. Like we didn't have rights and now we have them and we just want to protect them.
Yeah, because it took us a very long time to get them, and some more than others.
Yeah, and it's like,
But also, in to that argument, if you understand that the only reason that there would be a civil war is because the current sitting president would have incited it.
Oh,
would have emboldened it. And that doesn't scare you? Like, it doesn't, like, should I vote for Trump in an effort to avoid a civil war? And wouldn't that very action be the very thing that our families fled in Cuba? The fact that choice was basically manhandled on us?
Mm-hmm.
And we were all set to watch our country burn because people had opposing views and thoughts? No. That, like, how do you not understand that? The truth is that this could be turned off in a heartbeat. If Biden wins, all Trump has to do, which he won't do, but all he has to do is have a peaceful transference of power.
Yeah.
He has, like, accept the results,
yeah,
and have a peaceful, like a respectful, like, because there are plenty of one-term presidents, okay? It's, yeah, not like if he loses, he's lost. There's plenty of one-term presidents out here, okay? But if all he did was shake Biden's hand and say, you know what, like I hand you the keys to the kingdom, like let's find a way to work together so that our parties can make sense, and tell the fucking people, like with guns and like all of these emboldened supremacists out here, to just stand down and like take a moment to listen and like reach across the aisle. But he doesn't know what any of those terms mean, so he's not going to say them, and he's certainly not going to transfer power easily, because the first thing he's going to do is, and he's going to everything that he set up in place right now. He's going to, if he loses, he's going to develop some crazy conspiracy that the Democrats like burnt votes and that we suppressed voters and that the mail-in ballots are fraudulent. And he's gonna drag this out until kingdom come.
Yeah,
I mean, probably insist on a new election. He's gonna, like,
honestly, even if he, because the worst part here is, like, even if he wins, if he's not happy with the number of votes that he got, he's gonna have an excuse, and he's gonna harp on it. You know, he's just like, he's petty.
He's petty, and I'm just tired of seeing this, man. Why are you guys still like? Why do not you? But I don't understand how people watch this and they're like, yeah,
that's it. That's the one for me, yo.
That's the one for, like. Guys, I get it. I'm sure that there are policies. There have been some advancements in, like, I guess in prison reform.
Yeah.
There have been some things there.
He's done some stuff with taxes. He did some stuff with taxes. Some people that are in certain brackets are feeling the taxes more than others, but like the people that should still be taxed at a higher rate are not being taxed at a higher rate to truly make like economic change.
Yeah. Things have gone into play, but at the end of the day, the Democrats don't hate, they don't hate Trump because he doesn't have like three good ideas. Okay. It's because in expressing those ideas, he makes us look like a fool. It's because he stands in the middle of, he said, because he claims that he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot a person and get away with it.
Yeah.
And this is what our allies across the world have to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, for me, it's just a plain fact that like he utilizes people's rights as a way to get his way.
Yeah, he weaponizes their rights.
I feel like it's weird, right? Because we all know that there's a dirty game in politics. Mm-hmm. But we accept it because it's happening behind closed doors, right? We're like, well, you know, it's the Cuban saying of like, ojo que no ven, corazón que no siente, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't see it, it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
But like, to have the gall to just put us at risk constantly, you know, not just like us minorities, but also just like Americans as a whole, because God knows that if at 2 a.m, he's feeling some type of way, he's going to put it on his Twitter. And like, it's just all these other things that I'm like, you know what? He's just not it for me. He's not it for me. And like, while I am radical in terms of like social and civil rights, I'm a little bit more moderate in other views, right? So like, if there is a Republican or maybe like an NPA that is more like that, there's a good possibility that I might vote for them.
Right.
But that's not where we're at right now. I hate it. I hate that we're like dealing in extremes, like this whole you're with us or against us. And it's like, why can't we just talk? Why can't we just like you don't need to accost me, I'm not gonna accost you, but like the moment that you get at it, I'm just gonna walk out. I'm not even gonna try to argue. I'm just gonna walk out. Because like, even in my family, when my abuela just like starts, I'm like, you know what? It's time for me to go. Because I'm not going to entertain the argument. I don't want echo chambers, pero coño, like, don't try to treat me like I'm just like an asshole, you know? I want to talk about it. You know me? Yeah. I love talking shit. Like, maybe you say something that makes sense to me and I'll be like, oh, I get it. You did it for this. But until you say that, I'm going to be like, you're doing this for what?
It's also good to have conversations, like fruitful conversations. And like the other, you know, a few weeks ago, well, probably longer than that, I had an encounter with my neighbor. And this is important because I know I've told you this, but there is more to the story. So I have, you know, since quarantine began, I've been like, you know, I would take Leela on these long walks, and there's not a lot of space to walk in this community. So I would usually walk behind the same apartments because whatever. And there was a gentleman there who I knew he was a Republican because like he always has his blinds open. He was watching Fox News 24/7. But you know, I would take the time to say hello, and he would say hello, and we would like shoot the breeze and be like, oh, you know, let's see how much longer this lasts. Like this was like, you know, April when it all kind of, you know, like the first month
when it was new, like,
when it was just a new thing. But we, you know, we were always polite with each other, you know, like always. And then one day we actually started to talk, like Leela was taking her time. And he just started kind of like talking to me, and he started giving me like the lecture, because he's like, I'm a military guy, like, you know, I served in the Marines, and like I'm Cuban, and like I don't understand how any Cuban like how disrespectful to your own people to like vote for a socialist. And he, and like I hadn't told him who I was voting for. He just assumed because I work in education, you know. And that is pretty common in higher education. You do have a nice majority tend to be in the middle, but you do see a lot of people in the more liberal side there. Not all, but some. And he started talking about like how Democrats just don't want guns, and we don't want guns, and we're going to take away your gun, and that the assault weapons are just a term. I don't know where he was on his own planet. I had not mentioned guns.
Quick. Here's my question. When they get on about guns, like, yo, are you fucking your gun?
Wants to take your fucking gun. I don't care about your gun.
It's my fault, like my freaking fault. And it's like, chill, yo.
No, it's because it's all propaganda. Anyway, there's always this belief that don't, you know, whatever. The point is that he started talking about, like, look, it's an assault weapon, but anything can be an assault weapon. If I throw my shoe at you, that shoe is an assault weapon. And I'm like, okay,
right, yes,
you're right, but the shoe has another purpose.
Yeah,
it protects your foot. If I were to throw this grass in your eyes and it cut your cornea, then this would be assault grass. But the assault weapon has one purpose. You can't use it to hold open a door. You can't use it to hang your shower curtain. Its one purpose is to destroy what it's targeting, like to the point where whatever it's shooting bleeds out. It's used in war, you know, so that if a soldier is being shot with an assault weapon, mm-hmm. they bleed out so fast that other soldiers have to come and help him. Okay. And that's the reason that assault weapons were designed, so that you can get more people at once. All right. I didn't even tell him all that. All I said was, you're right, an assault shoe, sure. But just for the record, no one wants to get rid of your guns. That's not what the Democrats, like, that's not what I believe. It's none of my business if you have a gun. I just want to make sure that you and everyone go through the proper channels, like, get evaluated. Like, that's all I care about. Like, you have your right to protect your home. I just don't want you to feel like you have the right to point the gun in my face when I'm not threatening you. That's how I feel. And it didn't mean to get heated, but I tried, it didn't get heated, but he started getting heated with me because whatever. And then I was just kind of like, I just cut it off and was like, talk about anything else. Because he's still my neighbor. I'm going to see him.
Yeah.
So I don't want to argue with anyone. And I come home and I'm just sort of like, I can't believe, like, we finally hit that nail. Like, this guy wanted to argue with me. And let me tell you something, even though I worked very hard to move the conversation off that topic, to basically tell him, like, we can have this discourse. We're not going to agree, but I'm not going to fight with you. You know, yeah. I respect you as another human being. And, you know, you have your feelings on things, I have my feelings on things, but we both pay rent and we both live in this community and we both follow the law. Like, I'm not a snowflake here to, like, fucking, like, you know, wear my pride flag in your face. Like, I'm just not that person. But let me tell you, I have not seen that man again. I still walk Lila at the same time. I still walk around, like, at different hours, and all his blinds remain closed. He does not come outside anymore. And I'm positive it's because he's avoiding me.
That to me is terrifying.
It is terrifying. He's avoiding me. And I'm like,
why though?
Why though? Like, of all the Democrats my age, of all the millennial Democrats that could live here and argue with you.
Yeah.
It's not me. I'm here to talk shit. Cause I don't want to talk about politics. I would rather talk about anything else than politics. So I don't know. So I don't know where this whole, like, Democrats are so sensitive and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So, like, there was this one lady at the gathering that was like, that was the one that was like the most irate. And, like, she just, like, kept yelling and going and going and going. And I kept looking at her and being like, do you want, like, to drink some water? How about you, like, take a breath? I kept telling her, I'm like, you're getting very red. You are yelling right now. I'm not, and I said, you know, I'm not trying to be condescending or anything. I just, like, we're having a conversation and you're getting very upset. And she's like, I just get, like, very passionate about it. And so then I go, no, I know, I get it. We're Cuban, you know, we're going to, like, be very loud and, like, boisterous and everything. But at the end of the day, like, we're going to go home after this and continue living our lives no matter who wins. You know, like, Miami is a bubble. This mm-hmm. is, like, the cutest wrapped in a bowl bubble. And, like, the more you get like that, the more you alienate yourself.
Like, no, and the more likely I'm going to run into you at Palacio de la Ju.
Yeah, because, like, we're all going to eat the same different, like, the same things. we're all gonna like visit the same places. You know, you might have a Costco membership, I have a BJ's one. We all need to put gas in our car. Like, there's all these other things that we have to do. Like, yeah. Chill, dude. Chill. Like, be angry, pero tranquila.
Yeah. No, yeah. Whatever.
I
know is that voting is a privilege and a right. And I just think it's important for people to do it. You have no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many methods to do it. A lot of people are like, even I'm a professor, right? And I'm supposed to teach class on election day.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the students that class is canceled. I told the students class is canceled because I don't want to hear it. Yeah. Like, I'm like, look, I just want you to vote. I don't care who you vote for, though. Of course I do.
Yeah. But
I don't care who you vote for. I just want you to exercise your right.
Yeah. You technically have to remain nonpartisan.
Yeah. No, I know. And I have to. And I told them that. I was like, look, I'm not here to talk about politics. It's not my place. But I am going to, I want to give you guys the time to go vote. If this is the only day that you can do it, it's literally the last day you can. And I don't want to stand in your way. So you're not coming to class this day.
Question. Are you going to give them extra credit if they can prove that they voted?
I thought about it, but I'm not sure if I can. I'm sure I can. And I really have thought about it because I'm thinking about doing that for my other class who I teach on Fridays.
Okay.
And because I'm like, because I don't know if they know each other, and I don't want like one group to say we didn't have class and then the other group have to come to class, you know?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about just canceling for both of them and then giving them extra credit if they voted. But then it's kind of hard because they could have started voting on Monday or whatever. And if they don't, the only way they would be able to prove it is with the sticker.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and
I don't,
you know? So if I wanted to do that, I would have had to announce it earlier. Because what if they threw out the sticker? Or worse, what if they like lie and they like grab somebody else's sticker? Like that'll make me upset if I notice that they're lying to me. So I'd rather just be like, your achievement is that you get to exercise your right during our class time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go.
In the spirit of voting. Have you watched the Vox Netflix special on on voting?
Because I've literally been avoiding everything that there is to be about voting.
So it's actually really good. It's nonpartisan.
But is it gonna make me like upset?
No, not at all. It's just like the history of voting in the United States, like how gerrymandering works, how ballots work. Like literally it goes into every single aspect of a campaign and voting and like what it means. And I brought it up because you said that it was a right, and there's something that they talk about and I can't remember it right now, but like, it's kind of goes into, when people say that voting is a privilege and not a right, and then vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really good, and they interview like all types of politicians.
Wait, was I wrong in calling it a right? I'm just curious because I haven't.
Yes, seen.
I was. What
because
is it?
Because not everyone has the right to vote.
Oh, okay.
But I can't remember what was like. So I can only say this like half-assed because I don't remember what the terminology is. Okay. But it's fantastic. And I thought I'm watching it. I'm going to get super angry. Like I was ready. And I watched it. And I'm like, I learned so much. It was so good. They did such a great job. I'm like, I wish more things were like this, you know? Cause like they interviewed all types of politicians, whether they're a current politician, retired. Yeah. And they talked about like what rights, you know, could go away based on like what people are saying and like what's being put into policy. They did a really good job.
Okay, I'll give it a shot because I have like there are certain documentaries that I've been trying to not watch because I'm scared that they'll make me upset. I don't want to like upset because of the state of our world, you know, like it's too easy for me to cry and to get upset and sad at the fact that like this is the world we've inherited and this is the world as it continues to be, and it seems, you know, and I don't want to get into all that headspace all the time. But you know what I did really enjoy, and I was like not about watching it, was The Art of the Protest.
Oh, where's that?
I think we ended up watching it on, I'll have to ask Gabe. I think it's on YouTube for sure. But I also think you can watch it on one of those like free streaming channels. But I didn't want to watch it because I was like, oh, they're just going to fucking, they're going to throw cans of tear gas and shootings. And I don't, but it, what it was about was basically, It kind of like starts with Pussy Riot, and it kind of explores more of like literal actual art, like, you know, graffiti and like the Banksys and the Shepherd Fairies and all these incredible artists who have used their art to, you know, to present the way that they feel about current politics. So they talk about like the Trump statue, the naked Trump statue that was like out around, you know, different cities, and how, and like the level of expression and like other ways that they have been using, basically how people have used their art to protest. In addition to like, you know, like the walks and all the other types of protests that we're familiar with. I thought it was really fascinating, and it's told from like a music perspective, like really. So you have like, you know, what's his name? Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. Yeah. And you have Against Me. No, not really, not Against Me. You have Rise Against, like, it's a lot of these like punk bands. Yeah. And punk,
but they also end up being like at the front lines too at times of protest, like for sure.
They always are.
Tom Morello's in, like, if there's a protest happening and he can get to it, he is there and you will hear him.
Well, he's also like, there was somebody who got like in his face, like, because he has always been very outspoken. He is a political activist. That's exactly what Rage Against the Machine is. And if you don't realize that, I don't know what to tell you. But he, like, what's it called? Like, somebody got into his face and was like, you know, like, just play music. No one cares about you. Like, what qualifies you to talk about this? And he has like a bunch of degrees in political science. I think he has, let me see, Tom Morello education. He has, I think, so he has a Bachelor of Arts in he went to Harvard for political science, actually. So, like, that's what he responded back with. He's like, I only hold all of these degrees, and I also, you know, have a political band that writes music and stuff. But you know who I'm.
I mean, he has two.
Yeah, he has two.
He has two political as fuck bands, you know? Yeah. Like, I still remember to this day when, like, I read the article that Audioslave was going to play in Cuba. I was like, what? Fucking crazy.
But, you know, like, but all the same, like, the punk revolution is basically, like, punks began because of protest. Like, punks are protest. So I always kind of forget that sometimes.
I mean, it's like everything, right? Like, it's easy to forget because at the end of the day, what became mainstream is no longer truly about what punk was made for, you know? Like, yeah, you're angry and upset, but like, you're angry and upset because like, you're stuck in the town that you were born in.
Right.
You know, which is different to like, oh, I'm pissed off because like half my band is black and like we can't play in certain places.
It's just pretty cool stuff. So I do recommend that. I'll watch the Vox one too.
Okay. I'll watch The Art of the Protest. That sounds like a good time.
I also recommend if you haven't watched it yet, the Comey series. With that one's not a documentary, but it's I will say it's interesting because it's factual, and it's told in a way that isn't necessary. It's so the way that the story is told is not one-sided. It's very like, this is just how things happened. Mm-hmm. This is just how the sequence of things happened. And these were the concerns we had. But I did have a little bit of a hard time watching it. When I was watching it with Gabe, I was like, I hate the writing. I hate the way that this was written. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I just feel like the writing sucks and these actors are great and they're making it work, but the dialogue is awful. And there's like 4 episodes of this, but God damn, I love Jeff Daniels. And that's all I care about.
That's kind of like why I want to watch it. But if the writing sucks, it also has a lot to do with like those hearings sucked.
Right, but it's more than the hearings. Like, yeah. it's about his tenure, really. Mm-hmm. And like like everything that he wrote, you know, about like the meetings that he would have with Trump and like how he kept trying to establish, like, you know, sir, the FBI and the executive office should be separate. Yeah. Even with Obama, we were separate, like.
Mm-hmm. Which, did you hear that the FBI held a conference yesterday basically saying that like they are aware of I think voters being put in danger and like the Proud Boys and all that stuff, but also that there are, oh my God, what are the two countries? It was like the Dutch and Russian or something like that, like interfering in the elections. Like, it's officially been proven by the FBI.
Oh, has it now?
Yeah. And it came out like yesterday. But, you know, we're too busy like focusing on how the Pope said that it's okay to like have a same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
And it's a bad thing. It's great.
No, it's a beautiful thing. And I'm glad that he said something, but that's in the news. I have to look that up because that's a big deal.
Yeah. It was like for 2 days. Like,
yeah.
Seeing it pop up and I'm like, what else isn't even happened in 2016 is going to happen in 2020?
No, it's fascinating. What I loved about the Comey thing is that, like, it's so easy how we forgot how the sequence of things went. Because the hearings, yes, I remember watching those Comey hearings, and they were exhausting, and they were so boring. But, you know, the man has a great deal of integrity, and he is very well-spoken and, he's just a pretty incredible man, you know? And he led in such a beautiful way, and was approached with really difficult situations. And the guy that, the political figures that you see in the show, like Trump and you see Obama, like the actors who play them are out of this world. And I'm not talking like just like makeup, just like the essence of them is just so perfect. And I don't know where I was going with this, but generally, like, so during that whole story, they talk about how, you know, like the Russian interference, they talk about, of course, like the Hillary emails and they talk about like Anthony Weiner, like basically fucking it all up and like, you know, the discovery of all of these other emails after they had told, you know, after Hillary was basically exonerated, when they told her, they were like, look, we didn't find anything, but there was like a chunk of emails from her BlackBerry that they weren't able to recover, but they were able to recover it on Anthony Weiner's laptop because he kept sending his wiener to people, you know, the whole thing. And it was so easy for us to forget that there was all of this Russian stuff, like all of this Russian interference that took place with like the moment that the administration began and like all that was stuff. Like, we all actually have forgotten it because the media doesn't talk about it anymore.
Yeah. We're just moving from thing to thing.
And Trump always saying that he was like, that they found it, that he was disproven for like Russia interference. It's like, no, you weren't. Like, there were hearings about it. They had proof. Comey wrote them. He wrote the reports. We all know it's true. Everyone knows it's true.
Yeah, but we just said we're here now.
But we're trusting that you said that you, like, no, but there was, like, there's so much more evidence that shows that it was true. And there was nothing ever written or spoken about in the media or anywhere else saying, you know what, sorry, the FBI got it wrong. Trump told the, you know, Trump wasn't involved. It's just,
yeah,
This is why I hate everything. The listeners can't see, but I'm like rubbing my eyes.
Yeah, she's like in full, I'm over this. So since you're over it, have you kept watching Lovecraft Country?
I haven't. I only watched the first two episodes because
the third episode is so good.
I know, love the show.
But it is very strong.
It's very strong. And no, trust me, I am trying not to do the typical thing that I always do where I just like absorb all of the show at once. I just wanted to be able to pace it myself. I hate waiting every like once a week, even though it seems like I might end up waiting a week.
Yeah, it looks like that, ma'am.
I know, but it was really just because of the, like yesterday we played D&D and then the day before that we watched Lovecraft Country. And then the day before that I was playing Vampire. So I just haven't had time,
It's all out at this point. So like, take your time. It's very, it's a beautiful show, but the subject matter is very strong. And like the third episode, you're going to need to take a break. Okay. Not like
I got to put this down and walk away for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. Not like
you're just saying don't binge it.
I would. But I'm a glutton for punishment. But I do want you to like text me when you finish the third episode.
Okay. Yeah, I could do that.
It's just a lovely telling of like America in the 50s, and one can question what the differences are in 2020.
Flood of what?
Sorry. So in episode one, when it's like it's getting like really like strong, and they go into the audio, they use the spoken word of Whitey's on the moon.
Yes. Oh my, I've never heard it before. And when I started listening to it, and I put on subtitles and I was reading it, and I was like, first of all of the audio choices for like songs.
No, because you don't even know
poem, everything. But when I listened to Whitey's on the moon, I was like, kill me. They're so right. You're absolutely right.
And there will be spoken word on every episode.
Okay. I thought I was noticing that, but I wasn't sure if it was intentional. I just like,
yeah,
I wasn't sure. That's really awesome. No, it's just a thoughtful show, but I will say like, I felt so silly crying as much as I was, because I was crying. But I felt silly because like, honestly, like I know that we're not white. We're white passing. I know that. Like, I know that like,
we whatever. Carry privilege.
We carry privilege though.
And we live in like, Miami.
And that what is it? Like that white guilt started like kind of hitting my heart a lot when I was seeing them like being chased down the street, and like that whole thing with the sundown when they were driving the car and they were trying to get out of the county by sundown. I sobbed. I was so scared.
Yeah. You want to keep like rubbing your eyes in both sadness and anger? There are still sundown towns in the United States.
Where you're allowed to just hang a person because they're in your county and black? After sundown?
There's still sundown towns.
I was a wreck. I kept like having like, you know, I'm not a pretty crier. I was having like these, like those silent sobs, and Gabe would just look at me and he's like, get it together.
Was it the silent ones where you're like, after like a couple?
Just.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was a wreck. I mean, I just didn't think, I knew that it was going to be effective. I've avoided all of it. I've avoided everything that has to do with Lovecraft. I was trying to avoid it. Because I didn't want to be led in any direction. But my God, what a poignant portrayal of.
I keep thinking of like things that are coming up.
I know, I'm not ready.
And like.
I'm just so sad. Everything is so sad. Everything is. That's why I'm so grateful for the Great British Baking Show, because it's nice to just have a little piece.
Just be happy.
Just like a little, happy. A little thing to be happy and excited for once a week, because everything sucks.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Everything doesn't suck.
No,
I know. Things are rough on a political sense, but things are okay. Things are good. We literally are in a bubble, you know, and we haven't really left our houses to try to like experience the world. So we really are in bubbles, and, you know, we're absorbing a lot all the time, and people are not making it easy. So it feels like everything is terrible, but where we are at the moment, like at the present, it's not. And it's important to remember that.
All I keep thinking is in 2 weeks, I think it's just the trauma of 2016 and actively feeling the shift, you know, like the shift of the world.
Yeah.
I'm scared of that shift again. I'm scared of the anticipation of the shift, whether in either direction.
Yeah.
I'm scared that, you know, yeah, I think I'm scared that, you know, there will be some scary displays of anger. From both sides. And, you know, thank God I got these hurricane shutters. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to just shutter myself in.
Yeah.
Turn on the lights.
Yeah.
And watching some Great British Bake Off.
I'm glad I live on the block that I live in the area that I live in, because we are in the majority here of being pro Biden, or at least a Democrat. But, and speaking about being in your feelings, I told you I watched The Village today.
Yes.
I'm really into it.
Yeah,
I really like I fuck with that movie. That shit was good, bro.
I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah.
I mean, like, I was texting you the whole time as I watched it, but
I
like,
know, but I thought really that because I only remember like the ending. I remember the twist and then the other twist.
Yeah, I Gabriel.
You didn't like it?
What did you just throw on your desk?
You don't like it? Oh, I don't know if I like it either, but okay.
What is it?
It's the Twix cookies and cream.
Oh,
It's okay. Like I'm not a Twix fan.
I am.
He bought these in a, like to see if but I would like.
Stop, like, does it still have like the cookie inside? Or is
yeah. Like, I'll break it in half. I'll break it in half. So you
can I guess see the it. Cookie it's, is Oreo.
Kind of, it's like there's still caramel in it.
That's really
sweet. It has, so the wafer is chocolate.
Okay.
The wafer is chocolate, and then it has like that like Hershey's cookies and cream situation here, but it has caramel as well. I think it's a little overkill for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it's like really, really sweet.
I guess that Mark. Can you hear me?
Delightful. So yeah, I thought it was great, you know, spoiler, clearly. I mean, the movie's like,
I mean, it came out 16 years ago.
Oh my God. Fuck. Whoever was born in 2004 is 16 now. Jesus Christ. Anyway. Yeah, it just kind of like proves that even if you try to create your own utopia, bad shit's going to happen because human beings are human beings. Things that I didn't like that, like, the person with like the mental issues was the perpetrator.
How did you feel when you realized what the monsters were?
I figured, because that scene where like everyone's like running around, you don't see any of the elders.
Yeah.
But again, like I told you, I feel like because I knew what the twist would be at the end, I was like looking for things in the background, like constantly, and like trying to pick up on clues as much as I could. So the minute that I saw that like the elders were nowhere to be found until, you know, everyone's kind of like coming back, I was like, oh, okay, I guess that these monsters are not real. But they were cool though. They were like massive freaking porcupines.
And I remember watching that. I saw that movie, like, I think on, like, a date. I'm pretty sure I saw that on a date. But, like, not with, like, a new person. I was, like...
You've been dating for a bit.
I was dating somebody at the time when I was watching it. And being like, oh, shit! You see the car?
That shit... Yo. honestly. Like, you see the car, but then, like, you it also hits that, like, the leader of the elders is the, like, they own the park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm guessing, oh, well, never mind, because I was like, oh, the rumbling that they hear is from, like, outside. But then they also mentioned that, like, they had paid so that the airplanes don't go over.
Mm-hmm.
So then I remember, too, that he's like, oh, yeah, like, the sound, like, they make the sounds.
Right.
I'm like, there must be subwoofers and shit all over.
Like, all they over spend so much money. Everybody spent so much money in this village to keep it so rural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, y'all, I don't understand this. I feel like I just felt like it was really cool to see, you know, so all of these people come from like a very hurt place, you know, they've all been wronged by someone in society, like they just, it was so much grief that they just couldn't hack it anymore. So I'm like, number one, everyone in this town is a water sign. All of these elders are water signs. Like 100%, a bunch of Pisces and actually, maybe all Cancers. I think all the elders. And like one outlier that was like, well, I guess, because we're married. But to me, I'm like, this is actually really cool. And then it gave me a lot of like that Midsommar vibe, right? Of definitely. Like, it's like this town and, you know, where in Midsommar, you're like, you're going in for a celebration. It's still like the traditions and the way that the town looks and everything. I was like, oh, I fuck with this. I like this. The village is cool.
I'm glad that you liked it. Like, there's so many people that were so put off by it. There was a whole era.
I haven't gone into like why people don't like it.
And people don't like it because they don't want to. They don't like it because
it's M. Night Shyamalan.
It's M. Night Shyamalan. But here's the thing. Like, when The Village came out, M. Night was still, like, on good standing.
Yeah, because it's, like, right after Signs.
No, it's, like, it's. I think it's right after Unbreakable.
Maybe. No, I think Unbreakable came out first. Let's find out. Hold on.
Yeah, check. Because I know Signs came out definitely before.
Yo, I watched Signs, like, 3 times in the theaters.
I love Signs. That's such a great movie. And then The Sixth Sense.
Hello. I watched The Sixth Sense as a full-fledged adult.
Oh, you didn't watch it? Like, did you already know what happened?
Yeah.
Girl.
Well, I mean, I watched it like 7 years after it came out.
I saw that movie with my mom.
It's Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs, then The Village.
But see, so it was actually, like, it came off of a slew of very well-acclaimed films. And then The Village actually is kind of where they mark, like, the decline in M. Night Shyamalan.
Did you watch The Lady in the Water?
I did watch The Lady in the Water.
Did you like it? I haven't seen it.
I did like it. I think it's because I like allegorical things. I like anything that makes me feel like I'm sitting in like an 8th grade English class.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, so I enjoy it because he writes really good short stories, you mm-hmm. know, like that kind of, that are meant to teach you a lesson, you know?
Yeah.
He's really good at that. So I liked Lady in the Water. It wasn't anybody else's favorite, but it was also kind of like, it's hard to like describe what it's about, you know, because it's like, how are there werewolves and a lady
in the water?
Like, it's a complicated, like, it's a complicated like journey that he takes you on for like this big lesson.
Okay.
And I think that people were just so put off by the lesson that they learned in the village, when in reality I feel like The Village is an excellent film for right now, because it's about a society that is forcing, it's about leaders who are forcing a boogeyman on its citizens in an effort to control them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what we're all feeling, you know, and what's true and what isn't. So I guess at the time, nobody wanted to hear that lesson.
Yeah.
And it pissed everybody off.
Yeah, I really like M. Night Shyamalan. I mean, there's things that, like, I guess he's made that are not good, but I haven't really watched them.
I can't even remember what other movies.
I feel like I definitely
What are the bad ones?
So after Signs, I skipped everything until Split.
I liked Split too.
Split was great.
Split was fun, man. Split was great, man.
Yo, and James McAvoy did such a good job.
No, he was amazing, and he's so cute.
Yeah. Terrifying.
Let me see. M. Night Shyamalan. I also like that he's such a big, like, Hitchcock fan. He always has to be in his own
movies. You could see, like, his influences.
Oh, for sure.
Like, to me, this feels like a guy that, like, was also really into, like, Ray Bradbury.
Yeah.
And shit like that.
You know,
I love twists, so I'm like, I love his twists.
He does a good job, and people are such assholes. But, like, okay, so I didn't see The Happening. I didn't see The Last Airbender. And that's when things really started going down.
Yeah.
That's when people were like, yeah, M. Night, and he came out with a movie, like, every other year, so it was, like, a lot. I didn't see Devil.
But it looked good. Devil looked good.
I didn't see After Earth, but I remember Gabe did.
I remember that.
And I've heard so many good things about The Visit, and I haven't seen it either.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one about the grandparents, no? Like, visiting your grandparents? But no, I haven't. And he has he's filming a new movie called Old. What's that about? It's loosely based on the graphic novel Sandcastle by Pierre Oscar Levy. And it stars Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yeah. Also, let's talk about how well he writes parts for women.
He does.
It's not perfect.
No, it's not perfect, but he.
But they're good, like, complex, like, fleshed out parts.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's being sexualized.
No, they're integral to the story. I mean, for the most part, most of his movies have male leads, but
yeah.
But the female counterpart is just as important and is what drives the way that the story moves.
I mean, the story is nothing without Ivy.
At all. No, it doesn't make sense.
And I thought it was interesting because there's, like, you feel like it keeps trying to push either, like, Joaquin Phoenix's character, Adrian Brody's character into, like, being the drivers of the movie, but they're not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, it's like either Sigourney Weaver's character or Bryce Dallas Howard. That's it. Oh, and hot ass Cherry Jones.
Bro, did you know that he was a ghostwriter on She's All That?
Get the fuck out. I love it.
And he also wrote he co-wrote the screenplay for Stuart Little.
Yeah, that I knew.
I did not.
That I knew.
So many good things.
I know. That's why, like, I'm excited. Yeah.
It'll be so fun. The Last Airbender is only based on the first season of Avatar?
I guess.
Wow. It's only based on the first season?
That trailer looked so goofy to me that I was like, I'm not gonna watch this.
Nobody wants to watch it. Yeah,
nobody wants it, but...
Yeah. People I feel bad for M. Night, because M. Night isn't bad. Like, he's not, but people are such dicks.
No.
Oh, I remember Wayward Pines.
I watched
worked on that.
Yeah.
I watched an episode. That was fine.
I just didn't keep going. It's not because I wasn't interested or anything. It was just one of those things that I was like, oh, it's fine.
I enjoyed it. I finished it all the way through, whatever it was out of it. Oh my goodness. Well, anyway, I feel like we've gone already on several different rambles at this point.
But I did want to talk about The Village because I saw it today. I felt like I felt a little bit like Epi. I felt left out of this, like, thing. I keep seeing The Village, like, in all of these, like, cinema things that I watch. Everybody's like, yo, it's so good. And then, like, you get to this twist and you're like, yo, what the fuck? And I'm like, well, I know what the twist is, but I don't know how we get there.
That's true.
And then I was watching it and I'm like, every actor, like, every famous actor in 2004 was in this movie.
Yep. Like, he was able to attract that again. He had just come off of making those great films.
Yeah.
It wasn't hard for him to get, you know,
oh, for sure,
really big names on there. Jeez. Later, you know, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm glad you watched it. I'm sorry it took you 16 years, but I'm glad you watched it.
You know, it just wasn't a movie that I wanted to watch when I was, how old was I? 2004? I was 14. Just wasn't a movie I wanted to watch at that point. No, I was 16.
You were 16, yeah.
Yeah, that's math.
Yeah, I'm like, how old are you?
I'm going to be 32. So yeah, I was 16 or about to be 16 when this movie came out. Yeah. Oh, and I watched Mermaids today.
You saw Mermaids? Yeah, is it your first time watching Mermaids?
Yeah, uh-huh. And that one, I really had no idea.
I love Mermaids.
Like, Cher's in this movie. Young as Christina Ricci's in the
movie.
Oh
my god, when Christina Ricci's like holding her breath in the bathtub.
So cute.
I love that movie. And that guy,
Bob
Hoskins.
Forget.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that movie. So good. So
I love every movie that he's in. Like,
yeah, Bob Hoskins. Friend Roger Rabbit, the amazing. Mario Brothers.
Amazing. Okay. I don't give a fuck what people say. I love the Mario movie. Okay,
it's I do dumb. Too. I mean, I get why people were upset.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm glad John Leguizamo's in that movie too, bro. Like, I can't. I'm not gonna be mad at it. I'm not gonna
talking about movies based off of video games. I've watched that Super Mario movie at least 10 times in my life. I will not watch Prince of Persia ever again because I know that I'm not gonna enjoy it as much as I enjoy this shitty Super Mario version of that movie. And Dennis Hopper is there a Bowser? Like, come on.
Yeah, no, you can't be mad. It's a good time.
You know, it was just one of those years where it was like, what the fuck are we gonna make a movie about? Mario's video?
Well, from what I learned listening to newcomers, mm-hmm. evidently. No, mentira. It wasn't newcomers. You know what I was watching? It wasn't newcomers.
What?
I was watching a thing on Hocus Pocus.
Oh.
And I guess Disney apparently had approached Steven Spielberg to produce Hocus Pocus.
Okay.
And he was like, no. He just wasn't into it. He thought that he had like a weird like thing with Disney at the time, as he still does kind of, but at the time in particular, he had a weird thing. So he didn't want to get involved. And he also didn't think it was going to be like a big deal. He instead invested his money and time into the Mario Brothers movie. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Would you look at that? Well,
look at that.
I at least watched it like 10 times when I had illegal cable as a kid. So. He made something with me.
I mean, he didn't, but he didn't. At least someone enjoyed it.
But he knows that, like, hey, Steven, so you're aware, I've watched it, like, 10 times in my life.
Yeah.
Every time it would come up, my uncle and I, we would stop, and we would watch that movie.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad that you guys have those memories.
Yeah. Fucking Bob Hoskins, man. Whatever he was in, I was going to watch it.
I can't tell you how many times I saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, like, same.
I don't even know if I own the movie. I don't know how I saw it so many times, but I definitely saw it more than 20 times.
Oh, it's on Disney Plus, and I've watched it 3 times since.
I haven't watched it since it's been on Disney Plus. Oh. I also haven't watched Hocus Pocus.
Oh, I've watched that a couple times already. Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'll do tonight. You know, it'll make me feel better after, you know, when I finally catch, like, the tail end of this debate, because I could hear Gabe screaming.
Honestly, if you want to, like, finish on a high, go watch that third episode of Lovecraft Country.
No, I can't. I can't watch
it. It's not going to fuck you up.
It's not that I have to watch it with him and he's going to be asleep after this.
Oh my God, Gabriel, live a little.
He doesn't. He doesn't do that.
I can't, Ashley.
Don't worry. I'm going to watch it. I mean, not tomorrow because tomorrow I'm going to see you.
Yes.
But I will watch on Saturday probably. I don't think we have any plans. So it'll be Lovecraft Country Day.
Oh my God, do it. It's going to be so good.
Oh my God, no problem.
I'm going to do it. And the podcast that goes along with it?
Of Love Crack? Love Crack?
Love
Crack Country.
Lovecraft Country, yeah, the podcast that goes with it, really good.
Yeah, I saw like a little thing on it, like on HBO, when they show you like all the extra stuff you could.
Yeah, what I was doing for a little bit was I would listen to an episode of Newcomers and then listen to the episode for the new episode of Lovecraft.
Shit, OG.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we're gonna call it.
Done. All right, fine. Well, thank you guys for listening. Mm-hmm. We totally love talking to you guys, and we hope that you had a good time listening to us ramble on about politics and M. Night Shyamalan. And so next week we will have a brand new episode from our D&D campaign, mm-hmm. The Color of Vengeance. So be sure to check that out. We'll have other episodes and stuff, you know, yeah. Follow us on Instagram. If you're not sure what's going on, go out.
It's Halloween next week.
It's Halloween next week. Oh my God. Let us know if you're dressing up, like what you're doing. Yeah. Are you just going to like, I don't know. Are you going to wear like a big bubble suit and like go to Coconut Grove? Like, what are you going to do?
My office, we're doing a pre-Halloween like happy hour. And we have to dress up. If we are not dressing up, then we cannot virtually attend. So I think I'm going to dress up as a Furiosa from Mad Max.
Oh, how funny.
I mean, honestly, I have a lot at my disposal right now. That's as true. A buzz cut woman. But it's going to be great.
Oh, that's cool.
I could also be Bowser if I wanted to.
You could. You could be a Goomba.
I could be.
You could just get like a super big jacket to make your head look really small.
Yes.
Yo, be a Goomba. That would be hilarious. Yeah, you could draw the teeth.
No, and everybody's going to be like, what the fuck?
Be like, from the Mario Brothers.
Guys, from the super famous Mario movie. Oh my God, I'll tell you after. I guess we should like just log off now, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, as Ashley was saying, follow us on Instagram at Baby Lambs Podcast. We've been posting more because, you know, we understand the importance of social media.
Yeah, and you guys are following us more, which is so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, and go vote, huh?
Yeah. You still got 13 days, yo.
Freaking vote, guys.
Do it.
Please. Oh.
So if you're listening to this on October 23rd, FYI, if you live in the state of Florida, Saturday, October 24th is the last day you can request a mail-in ballot.
Yes, ma'am. So
please do that.
Yes. Now, you won't be able to mail it back. I mean, you can.
Yeah,
you can. But you risk it a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, either way, we're still anticipating that we won't know the full results until after November 3rd. Because they will still be counting ballots.
Yeah, it's probably likely.
So if you want to do that, do it.
Yeah. And make sure, and if you don't have a plan, make a plan. There's so many places that allow you to make a plan. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what's on the ballot, there's so many other resources you can look at. You can look those things up on. Democracy Works is a really great source. Yeah. And I know that that's one of our sponsors, actually. But get a plan, get some people in a van together, socially distanced, like everything is going to be fine. Drop off your ballot and call it a day. Wear your sticker with pride. Yes. Because it is something that we can do. If you are able to vote, you should.
Yep.
Okay. Don't just sit on that.
Yep.
Because a lot of people want for you to be able to do it.
If you don't want to vote for president, it's fine. I get it. Yeah. But you still rely on politics and politicians in your state, in your mm-hmm. city. And it is just as important for you to like vote on that if you can vote on that. And if you don't want to do it for yourself, think of your abuela or your abuelo that like might not be able to vote. Like, do it for them, you know?
Definitely.
If not for you, then do it for them.
Local elections are just as important, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if not more so. District courts.
Mm-hmm.
Vote on all those crazy amendments here in Florida.
So many of them.
There's so many. We can have a whole episode about like what the fuck were those amendments though.
That could be after like post election.
Oh yeah. We'll talk about that after the election. Not right now.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Baby Lambs podcast. Artwork created by Janabel Art. You can follow her on Instagram at Janabel Art, or you can follow her studio at Studio Nami Tattoo. Music created by Daniel LaCosta and produced by Sunset Studios Miami. You can follow them on their Instagram at Sunset Studios Miami.
And you can follow us on Instagram via our handle at Baby Lambs Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at Baby Lambs PCast or Baby Lambs Podcast. You can find us now on iTunes and Google Play,
yeah,
and even on CastBox, which is actually a really cool app. Also by finding us via our handle, Baby Lambs Podcast, or by visiting our website at babylambspodcast.com. Thanks again for listening.